ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 32, Entanglement and Food Activities, Text 29.
Yatha mahamaham rupas.
Yatha
mahamaham rupas.
Yatha mahamaham rupas.
Vivrit pancha vidasvarat.
Vivrit pancha
vidasvarat. Ekadasha vidasthasya.
Ekadasha
vidasthasya.
Vapu andam jagadyata.
Vapu andam jagadyata.
Yatha
mahanaham rupas.
Yatha mahanaham rupas.
Vivrit pancha vidasvarat.
Ekadasha
vidasthasya.
Ekadasha vidasthasya.
Vapu andam jagatyata.
Vapu andam jagatyata.
Word for word translation. Yataha.
Yataha.
As.
As.
Maha.
Maha.
The Mahatattva.
Mahatattva.
Aham rupa.
Aham rupa.
The false ego.
False ego.
Trivrit.
Trivrit.
The three modes of material nature.
The three modes of material nature.
Panchavida, the five material elements. Svarat, the individual consciousness.
The individual consciousness.
Ekadasha vidha,
the
11 senses. Tasya,
of the living entity.
Vapu, the material body. Andam, the Brahman. Sorry. The Brahmanda.
Jagat.
The universe.
The universe.
Yataha.
Yataha.
From which or from whom?
From which or from whom?
Translation proffered by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. From the total energy, the Mahatattva, I have manifested the false ego, the three modes of material nature, the five material elements, the individual consciousness, the 11 senses, and the material body. Similarly, the entire universe has come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The Supreme Lord is described as Mahatpada, which means that the total material energy known as the Mahatattva is lying at His lotus feet. The origin of the total energy of cosmic manifestation is the Mahatattva. From the Mahatattva, all other 24 divisions have sprung, namely the 11 senses, including the mind, the five sense objects, the five material elements, and then consciousness, intelligence, and false ego. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of the Mahatattva, and therefore, in one sense, because everything is an emanation from the Supreme Lord, there is no difference between the Lord and the cosmic manifestation. But at the same time, the cosmic manifestation is different from the Lord. The word Svarat is very significant here. Svarat means independent. The Supreme Lord is independent and the individual soul is also independent. Although there is no comparison between the two qualities of independence, the living entity is minutely independent and the Supreme Lord is fully independent. As the individual soul has a material body made of five elements and the senses, the Supreme Independent Lord similarly has the gigantic body of the universe. The individual body is temporary. Similarly, the entire universe, which is considered to be the body of the Supreme Lord, is also temporary. And both the individual and the universal bodies are products of the Mahatattva. One has to understand the differences with intelligence. Everyone knows that his material body has developed from a spiritual spark, and similarly the universal body has developed from the supreme spark, supersoul. As the individual body develops from the individual soul, the gigantic body of this universe develops from the supreme soul, just as the individual soul has consciousness. The Supreme Soul is also conscious.
But although there is a similarity between the consciousness of the Supreme Soul and the consciousness of the individual soul's consciousness is limited, whereas the consciousness of the Supreme Soul is unlimited. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 13.3. The Super Soul is present in every field of activity, just as the individual soul is present in the individual body. Both of them are conscious. The difference is that the individual soul is conscious of the individual body only, whereas the Super Soul is conscious of the total number of individual bodies. Om Ajnana Chamanandasya Ajnanjana Shlakaya Chakshwami Vatanyana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Shri Chanyan Nabi Sam Sakitamiya Vitalaya Swami Padaramayam Kadapa Shabhanatikam Vancha Kalpa Tridas Shakupa Samvidya Egacham Pratita Nam Padme Vaishnava Guru Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Takadadhar Shira Sari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, entanglement and fruitive activities. Kapila Dev here is still speaking to his mother. Devahuti, where he's been encouraging Devahuti to take to the process of devotional service by taking shelter of Krishna. So by using our transcendental intelligence, we become equipoised in our vision and now see ourselves as parts and parcels of Krishna. So further to Kapila Dev encouraging his mother, both Kapila Dev is making or is pointing out also the material energy of Krishna, at the same time pointing out the relationship that material energy has with the individual soul. So in this purport, we're hearing the description of the Mahatattva, in which all, which is referred to as the total energy of cosmic manifestation, and how that pretty much is housing the material elements in their gross and subtle form, the three modes of material nature, individual consciousness, this working knowledge, acquiring senses, etc. And how, which also includes the mind, and how the living entity is the knower in this little field, in this little kshetra, this body that we have, and the difference between our concept of being the knower of the body and the Supreme Soul, the Super Soul, the Mahatpada, Lord Krishna, who is the knower of all bodies. So we have a limitation, whereas the Supreme Lord does not. So Krishna is the cause of the Mahatattva. Although being the Supreme Lord, everything is emanating from Krishna. Even the material elements are emanating from Krishna. And he eternally remains aloof from any direct contact. This is why Krishna will then have his expansions and devotees, demigods, who are carrying on the orders or the affairs of the material energy on his behalf. So Krishna does not necessarily personally come in contact with the material energy, although factually the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of the Mahatattva. So in one sense, because Krishna is the cause, we could say of the Mahatattva that there's no difference between the Lord and the material energy. This is one philosophy, this is one way of thinking that yes, it is the Lord and his energies are eternally one, but at the same time they are eternally separate from each other. So there's, in the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna is also asking about what is Brahman, but sometimes Brahman not only refers to the Mahatattva, but it also, this Brahman conception can refer to the living entity, it can refer to material nature or Prakriti. And in terms of the living entity, we try to lord over the material energy. So we try to enjoy the natural energy we try to control, but of course we know there's only one control of that natural energy, and that is Krishna. So when Arjuna is asking the Lord about what is Brahman and who's the control, where does it emanate from, in the third verse of the 13th chapter, this verse which I'll just quote, Tak Shetram Yacha Yadriksha Yadvikaritas Chayat Satayo Yad Prabhascha Tat Samashena Nishrinu. Now hear from me my brief description of this field of activity and how it is constituted, what its changes are, whence it is produced, who that know the field of activities is, and what his influences are. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport not only touches on the kshetra of the living entity, this body that we have, but also the universal body that is created by Prakriti. So the controller, one who knows the source, the controller of both field of activities is in full knowledge. So not only knowing the living entity as the controller of their minute body, but also knowing who the cause of that energy is and who the absolute controller of that energy is. So we understand from the pages of the Bhagavad Gita that out of these two knowers of the body, the living entity, the jiva within the body, and the super soul who is present within every atom of this manifestation, one is superior and one is subordinate. Like Krishna is the knower of all fields of activities, whereas we only know to some degree just the activities of our tiny manifested body. So Krishna is the supreme, that is why he's referred to as the supreme conscious being, or as the Mahatpada also, which means that he is a known of the Mahatpada. He knows the activities of every single living entity via the expansion of the super soul. So having that distinction, that understanding of difference between these two knowers, which one is superior and which one is inferior, allows us to act accordingly in life, not only in devotional service. So in this purport, Rishi Prabhupada points out the difference of the knower of the one field of activities and the unlimited field of activities. Prabhupada mentions that we should know these distinctions very well between the individual living soul and the super soul, how they influence their potentials, etc. And Prabhupada mentioned that we have to understand this, and we are able to understand this by studying the Bhagavad Gita, studying nature. This chapter is called, in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is nature, the enjoyer in consciousness. So we're trying to understand the origins of the material nature. We're trying to understand who the Ishvara is, who the temporary Ishvara is, as well as who the supreme controller of all these energies are. So by trying to understand this, we understand the influences that these two types of distinctions have. So we understand the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the influence of the tiny jiva. That the tiny jiva is not unlimitedly influential in terms of potency. We can only be at one place at one time. We can manifest our energies in terms of, you can have a personal assistant, you can have a business and have departmental heads, etc., who are your representatives. But in terms of existence and potency, without having to manifest yourself through different energies, we are very, very limited. Whereas the Supreme Conscious Being is unlimited, and by him being unlimited does not minimize or reduce his potency in any way. Whereas we try to do multifarious things, we are very, very limited in our abilities, in our stamina, in so many things. So this differentiation between these two knowers of the body is very, very important. In that way we can humble ourselves and accept that yes, there is the dominant, the supreme conscious being, and I'm inferior to that supreme conscious being because I'm but a limited minute spark of that spiritual energy. So like that, it becomes easier then to actually digest some of the knowledge that we're hearing from the page of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So as I mentioned, the Lord is the knower of all bodies, whereas we are only in knowledge of our own body. So that is a very, very clear-cut distinction. And having that as a foundation limits our interactions, limits our ability to control or to manipulate. There's only so much potency we can actually exhibit, especially when we're still in a conditioned state, not understanding that we are a spiritual spark. So we are only knowers of our tiny, minute bodies. And complete knowledge, everyone speaks of knowledge these days. There's so many courses. Every time you open up your inbox or you're looking over on your Facebook or whatever it might be, there's always some knowledge course coming out. Become this type of leader, become this type of person, succeed like this, succeed like that. So there's so many avenues where persons are trying to give knowledge how to take care of the body, how to take care of your mind, how to excel at work in the workplace, in the workforce, etc. But according to Bhagavad Gita, we understand the term knowledge to mean knowing and understanding who we are, what is the soul, knowing where or what our foundation is and who is controlling everything around us. That is real knowledge, not just a limited focus, a limited scope. I'm man, I'm woman, I like this career in preference to others, or I like this type of music over others. But if we look at the scope of things, what is real knowledge? Getting to understand ourselves, our controller, because there's so many controlling forces out there, whether it's in nature, whether it's our mind controls us sometimes, whether it's other living entities, nature controls us through weather, we dress a certain way, we eat a certain way, that's enforced upon us. We answer the calls of nature. We cannot stop. We are pushed by external forces. And real knowledge means to understand, okay, we are controlled by certain forces. We have a limited capacity to control certain things. Who is controlling all these activities? So this knowledge means to understand who we are as a living entity, who the supreme conscious being is, and who is actually in control. Who's controlling all these energies that are pushing us to act. So it's a very simple thing that I found in the Bhagavad Gita. When we try to understand what is real knowledge, we understand what is matter, what is spirit, and who is controlling these two things. Who is the supreme or the ultimate controller? So here in these purport, we understand the word given to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or his description. The verb that's been used to describe the Lord is Mahatpada. One who's in knowledge of the Mahatattva. So the Supreme Personality of God causes the Mahatattva. In one sense, he's none different from it, but also he's eternally different from that Mahatattva. He is supremely independent, Abhigya Sarat. That's the Supreme Lord. We have a minute independence because we depend on the Supreme Lord's energy, be it inferior or superior energy, for our existence. So we are fully dependent on the Lord at all times, but we have an independence which we may choose to be in our original constitutional relationship with the Lord, or we opt for a perverted relationship with the Lord by taking shelter of the exterior energy. So our independence, so to speak, because we will have a level of independence because that is a quality that comes from our source, that comes from Krishna. If Krishna is Swaraj, we also have that minute independence. We have all the same qualities but in minute propensities or in minute potencies. So we have that independence, but because of our limited scope and our the overwhelming nature of being in a material body, we are in forgetfulness of that reality. So the Supreme Lord, this is another thing, the Supreme Lord is always, in every circumstance, he's always fully independent and he's always fully aware. Whereas we sometimes, we're not awake, we haven't awoken to our reality of who we are, we're not spiritually awake. We're just going with the flow. We're accepting the body as the real self. So there's no comparison, of course, between our independence and the independence of the Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord, he's the knower of all fields of activities. All energies are emanating from him. So we do not produce... I mean, so many things can emanate from us. Odors, gases, liquids... So many things come out of the material body which has been provided by Prakriti, and Prakriti is the energy of the Lord. So once again, it always goes back to who is the provider of all these energies, who is the controller of these energies, and that is the Supreme Conscious Being. So like that, even our independence is very, very different from the independence of the Lord. The Lord is always fully independent. His activities do not depend on any other situation. By His own will, anything can happen. Whereas we are dependent on the different energies of the Lord. To be happy, to be in forgetfulness, to be knowledge, we require the potency of the Lord. Whether it's through His devotees, through the Holy Name, whatever it may be, we have that dependence factor. So our body, of course, and the universal body, because it is material nature, it is also temporary. These bodies that we have are very, very temporary. They're going to change so quickly. Gopal, you might think you're going to be small forever. Your skin is going to be always smooth. There's no hair in your face. Give it some time. You're going to change. Right? Mahayagriva, some teeth are out, they'll grow back, you'll have fully adult teeth. You're going to change as well. Sorry to shock you. I'm sorry. Your mom will explain later. So our bodies are changing all the time. I'm constantly finding gray hair all over my head. And I'm just like amazed. I'm like, wow, the time factor is acting. The body is changing. I'm getting old, which means I'm going to die. So whenever I find a gray hair, I'm just like, right, I'm getting there. So the body is constantly, constantly changing. This is the nature of things that are material, that they go through many, many changes. And it's when you're much younger, it's different. It's difficult to actually accept, because everything is just so plump and soft. You break a bone, it heals so quickly. You know, you learn very fast. You can learn languages. You can do so many things very, very quickly. But when time is starting to catch up, the forgetfulness factor, it pops in. The soul may want to do so many things. You may have so many desires, but the material body will slow us down. Because the mature body might not be able to jump in kirtan. It might not have the stamina anymore to play those wampas. Everything is slowly winding down, because this is how the material, anything that is material, goes through those six changes, the satipars. Everyone is born, we stay for some time, we release some byproducts, whatever, some skip that phase. We grow, we dwindle, then we vanish. We are all susceptible to all of these. This is what it means to have a material body. But when we when we act or when we behave in understanding, of what's been given in the Bhagavad Gita, we understand that these changes are just temporary. They're leading us to our goal. And through the scriptures that we have a specific goal that we're being taught in these pages, and that goal is to be in our original constitutional position, being a servant of Krishna. So we're living out this life, which might seem like everybody's doing the same. They wake up, they eat, they sleep, they exercise, they go to work. But our goal and our vision is very, very different. We're doing everything to try to please Krishna. Krishna is the central life of our activities, and when Krishna is not the center, life becomes very, very dry and drab and difficult, sometimes not worth living. This is why sometimes persons get addicted to substances, because life is just too unbearable when you're sober. So vile things like methamphetamines, or you know, they call it ice or crack, cocaine, whatever it may be, even alcohol addiction. And if we think about what all these things are, what constitutes the makeup of all these external things, it's like rat poison. Even just, you know, some of us used to drink alcohol, no secret. It tastes vile. It's just terrible. It's bitter, you smell, you vomit, you get sick, you get a beer belly. You know, so many of my friends, it's just like, you get a beer belly, you have high blood pressure, hypertension, your kidneys start acting a little bit funny, you might have a little bit of liver failure, high sugar content, you put on weight, acne, you name it, it happens. It's just so, even the smell of it is terrible. One Ayurvedic doctor once told me, if you can't eat it with a smile, don't even put it on your face. So you know, with cosmetics and everything in this world, there's so many toxic things people put on their hair, on their skin. And she was saying, if you cannot eat it, don't use it. And people have no idea, what is the biggest organ in the body?
Skin.
The skin. And so much junk goes in the skin. Everything from the shampoo that you use, so many toxins, and it's very, very quick to get into your bloodstream. So persons often wonder, I'm so sick, I don't feel well, I'm eating healthy, I'm doing this. But you know, in Krishna consciousness, it's an entire lifestyle that covers everything about your existence. From what you eat, to your exercise, to your japa, the clothes that you wear, the products that you use, it covers everything. We're trying to minimize, of course, our human footprint as much as possible. So I know for myself, whenever I go shopping, I look at all the ingredients. If there's something that I cannot pronounce properly, it's very, very difficult to figure out. Tetrahydro... All right. There's so many home remedies I can use. So I'm always very vigilant of what is going in here, because I need this machine that's been provided by Mother Nature, the material energy. I need this machine to try to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And if it is contaminated non-stop, it becomes difficult for me to remain sane, to make progress in bhakti. So, our bodies are just weak. It's mentioned in the first canto of Bhagavatam. The nature of this age, it has gone not only from our minds, but to also our bodies. Our bodies have become so weak. If you ask your great-grandparents, or even just your parents, what they used to do, how they used to live in the village or out in the country, you know, I have aunts who are so strong, have a stroke. Whenever they shake my hand, or they really clench it, and they're in their 90s, they're just so strong. And I was like, what do you do? And they're so active. They don't sleep as long, 4 or 5 hours max. They're out in the field, they grow their own food, they walk to get their water. This is way in the villages, not in the city. And they're so healthy and radiant because they're living as natural as possible. So this always amazes me. So we have to understand the difference of all these energies that we encounter, whether it's our own material body, the manifestation, the complete Mahatattva. We have to understand it with intelligence and differentiate and accept what type of situation we have. So Prabhupada oftentimes will give the example of the painter, the painting, and the asshole. Don't confuse the three. You know, there's someone sitting there painting. We can say in one sense it's all one. It's just all about the painting. You cannot distinguish, you cannot remove a painter from the painting. Whether it's Van Gogh or Da Vinci, Leonardo da Vinci, it's like you see the painting, you see them. But Srila Prabhupada would often say, don't confuse the painter, the painting, and the asshole. Which translates, we shouldn't confuse who or what Prakriti is, who the Purusha is, and who the Ishvara is. They're very, very distinct. We know who the Ishvara is. There's only one Ishvara. And everyone else is servant of that Ishvara. This is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ekala Ishvara Krishna. No one can claim to be Krishna. There's Krishna Dasis and Krishna Dasis, but Krishna. Arasabha Bhritya. All others are the servants. So there's only one Ishvara, and really the supreme enjoyer. Have a look, sometimes people have, based on their karma, a little bit of the opulences, wealth, beauty, fame, knowledge, renunciation. And sometimes it's very, very difficult to handle these opulences. Krishna has them in full, and Krishna never loses his head. Krishna's ego does not blow up like a chapati. Krishna knows how to handle the opulences, whereas the living entity, as soon as you get a little bit of wealth, some knowledge, oh, you are the best thing since sliced bread. The best thing since chapatis or parathas. Right, we think we're the best. Yes, I have some knowledge. I am the CEO at age 15. Oh, I'm so famous. I have so much wealth. I am the granddaughter of Sir Richard Branson or whomever it may be. And it goes to the head. And hence we see so much difficulty to control the senses when these opulences spike. It's very, very difficult. And many of them have fallen to intoxication, to drugs, to uncontrolled sense gratification, really. Whereas Krishna shows through his activities, whether we read Krishna book or Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, you know, Krishna walks around with these magnificent crowns, these jewels, and so what? It does not bother Krishna. You see people walk around with plastic, whether it's Gucci, Fendi, Prada, whatever it is, it's like, you know, everything has to stop for them. They have these big shades, they walk like robots, and their photographs are taken. It's like, oh, did you see what this person wore? Did you see what Kanye West did and Jay-Z, Beyonce had twins? Oh my God, it's like, people cannot handle opulences because they're not connecting their opulences to Krishna. Everything is coming from Krishna. Once we forget these things, once we try to enjoy the material energy, we cannot win, really. It consumes us and it brings about our lower propensities. It's very difficult to remain humble when we cannot admit where our grace is coming from. So it is all coming from Krishna, and we should never confuse the painting, the painter, and the asshole. So we know what is Prakriti, we know who is the Ishvara and the Purusha. We are in full knowledge, we know what is matter, what is spirit, and the controller of both. This is what the process of Krishna consciousness is teaching us. And by reminding ourselves all the time, we can make the right choices. We can make the right lifestyle changes to keep on furthering our knowledge of Krishna and who we are in relation to Krishna. So I'll stop there and I'll ask for a comment or question. Yes, I have no problem.
You want to hear something about Gopal Goswami?
I did not prepare and I will not speculate.
Okay.
So maybe you can read something off the Zaitri.
You want to read that?
I'll ask for any questions relating to today. And just for the fact that I have to be at work in 15 minutes, I'll just ask for questions first.
It's very important, as you shared with Dr. Dini.
Okay.
Very, very
important. Yes, problem. And I urge everyone to read something today about this glorious personality. There's always something on ISKCON Desire Tree that will be written by the Acharyas, especially from senior devotees of ISKCON on this day. So we can read about his faith, his life.
You know, Mahaprabhu had to postpone his plan because he started crying.
Mm-hmm.
He was only 7 years old.
Very, very difficult. Oh, as Den asked me, that problem is during the RT. I've been a devotee longer. Oh, why are they doing the service? You know? I used to have such similar feelings myself. And once I was reading, a group of devotees were reading Nectar of Instruction with His Holiness Devamrita Swami, and this point came up. Krishna sometimes blesses us and gives us a particular service, and sometimes He gives it to someone else, and we feel a certain type of way because we know we can do it better. And He said, you know, we should really, really be compassionate, because when someone gets a service, that is Krishna's blessing on that living entity. So there's no really point of being envious, because Krishna, we might not see it in the moment, but there have been so many times when Krishna has given us so much. So as soon as another person gets something, it's all eyes on them. It's just the nature of material existence. This envy fact, unless we're envious in the material world, envy plays a large part, because unless you're envious of your co-worker or whatever, you're not going to strive to want to have more than that person. So in one sense, the material energy pushes people to become envious in order to climb up the ladder, so to speak. But for us, while performing devotional service, we can see envy as some type of misplaced appreciation. Obviously, whoever gets that service has some good qualities while they're getting that service. And we should try to appreciate their good qualities. Our turn will come. We might have done many services that they might have liked, but you know, that's how it goes. So when we're envious of a situation, we try to show compassion to our fellow devotee friends that they're also parts and parcels of Krishna who also want to serve Krishna. So Krishna is blessing them in that way by giving them the service. But Krishna is expert. He will always reciprocate with us in a way that will enhance our bhakti. So not that Krishna will want to enhance our lower tendencies, but it is up to us to check ourselves, to be honest and say, I shouldn't be feeling like this. This devotee deserves service as much as I do. They're also parts and parcels of Krishna. And when you read Krishna's pastime with His different types of devotees, you will see that Krishna also relates in different ways with each and every single devotee, whether it's with Madhu Mangal or the gopis or Subala or Jatila, whomever it is, Krishna reciprocates with that devotee. So when we're feeling proud, however, we should always be careful, because whatever knowledge, intelligence, whatever strengths, potencies we have in Krishna consciousness, we get blessed along the way by devotees, by our seniors, by Krishna, by the spiritual masters. So our good qualities come from Krishna's blessings. So there's a section, I don't know which verse it is in Bhagavad Gita, where Srila Prabhupada explains that one gets devotional service after years and years of practice. Lifetimes and lifetimes, and also years of practice. And devotees ask Srila Prabhupada, well, we haven't done anything in this life. We come from, you know what our situations were. And Srila Prabhupada said, I created your good fortune. So by dint of our association with Srila Prabhupada, with so many devotees, we get the mercy of Krishna. So whenever we feel like I always try to see how Krishna relates with his devotees. I try to see how Srila Prabhupada would also relate with his disciples and how he would encourage and try to uplift them. So in a service situation, we should try to be compassionate and appreciate that other devotees are also getting the mercy, because the mercy is everywhere to be had. There's always an opportunity to serve Krishna. Unlimited opportunities. So don't be discouraged. We have time for one more before I run. Gopal, do you have a question? Yes, Madhukul.
Srila Prabhupada gives a lot of examples about envy. Because the grass on the neighbor's side is always green.
Mm-hmm.
He was a gentleman. He wanted a boon from Lord Shiva about envy and talking.
Yes.
And he had a problem with one eye. So Lord Shiva, he worshipped him so nicely that Lord Shiva pleased him. So what boon do you want? So he said, I don't like my neighbor because he is doing this and this and this, you know, always giving me trouble. So, Lord Shiva said, tell me precisely what you want. So he said that, I don't mind if I lose eyesight in one eye, but by my neighbor, I want you to lose both eyes. So this is the example of envy.
Yeah.
So we are envious, and we have to be very, very
thank you very much, Hare Krishna.